our parents hear this podcast, we beg them for forgiveness. You're listening to Reading Heathens, a secular Bible study by unholy folks. I'm Adam Christopher, son of a preacher man. I'm here with my co-host, Daniel T., son of a gun. And we'll be discussing Genesis chapter...
12.
12 today.
We're all the way up to... We made it all the way to 12. I got a little bummed out that by... I looked at it and I was like, there are 50 chapters in Genesis. And it's just like the idea of like what we decided to do here is kind of daunting.
Well, if you remember, originally the idea is that we'd do a couple of episodes from the Old Testament, and that would just like get us in the format, we'd start to learn our skills, and then we'd jump to the New Testament. Yeah. Because the original impetus for this was like me being like, I remember Jesus being kind of a cool dude.
Yeah.
And it seems like people aren't repping him as a cool dude.
Yeah. They've been acting a little different.
So once we get picked up by one of these big podcast networks, we'll start over from the New Testament.
Yeah, once Earwolf comes in and knocking at the door.
Well, Daniel, I'm excited. We have a guest today.
Our guest today, wild man, actor man.
Any other kind of man?
It's Harrison. Harrison Triggs here.
Hi, guys.
Try to be a little bit more respectful. On the podcast. Yeah. I did have a long talk with my dad the other day. And the Methodist Church is splitting up.
Wait, what? Really?
The United Methodist Church has always been kind of like a connected, you know, it's like they're all part of the same organization and they have like a hierarchy, mm-hmm. kind of like the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
They're not like the Catholic Church, but more so than other Protestant, you know, like there are a million different kinds of Baptists.
A little different really for the most organized. Important, in the most important way.
Yeah, the most important way is that our altar boys look real good. They got cooler. No, I'm joking. There are no altar boys. There's no history of abuse in the Methodist Church from what I can tell. But yeah, they're having an idealistic split.
Oh, about what? You mean one thing in particular?
Yeah, about ordaining gay people as ministers.
Oh, because they're the one. Yeah. For one, you have some people who are ministers. Well... I don't know. It was very easy to become a minister in the Southern Baptist Church. There's like, it was kind of loosey-goosey, the rules. It's like you didn't really, it's like you were ordained by like Jerry. You know? Like Jerry would ordain you. So, but y'all are more structured that way. Like you can, it's like a whole deal and you have rules.
But it's a messy time for him. And yeah. I don't know, that could be under wraps. I may have to edit this out. That could be like not official yet. This could be inside stuff from the conference.
Now, as one side, is it just gay people, or are they also like at the same time being like not women as well?
No, they're already women ministers in the Methodist Church.
But I didn't know if the people splitting away from that were also taking women with them.
No, I don't think so. I don't know the ins and outs of it. But I did talk to my dad for a long time, and I was like, oh yeah, I should maybe be a little more respectful of what a smarter man than I has devoted his life to.
I'm
going to try to be a little less flippant.
It's hard to not... When there's a story about Noah being mad because he was seen naked, it's hard to not make a wee-wee joke.
Yeah, it's real hard.
But we also should focus on what we're trying to do here is like, you know, which is actually review a piece of text, you know, and talk, you know.
As non-educated people, because potentially, like, I was dealing with this guy who was really distraught in this park earlier today, and he said that someone stole his bag that had all of his money in it and everything, okay. But he was like screaming at the top of his lungs during a kid's show in the park. So he was like, seemed like maybe he was lost. This guy was lost.
Yeah, may or may not have like a solid residence.
Yeah, and he might have not had a bag that got lost. He just like needed to throw a fit. But I was like, if someone offered to pray with him, and he was like, no, I don't want to do that, man. But I was like...
Wait, who offered to pray with
him? Someone who was trying to calm him down. There were a group of us that were trying to prevent him from continuing to scream, like, I don't give a fuck! Where's my shit? Like, while Toy Story Tempest is happening in the park. But... Anyway, someone was offering to pray with this guy, and I was thinking, if you just dropped off a Bible for someone as like, this is going to help your life.
Yeah.
There's no way. Like, that's part of the tricky part of getting into this, is I'm not educated about the Bible, and if I wanted it to change my life, like, these are the questions I'd be having.
Yeah, yeah. Because just straight up reading it, well, you know, when you're in school, they're in school, you weren't supposed to be able to do, like, the teachers couldn't just straight up just tell you that the Bible was real and, like, just teach Bible stories and Bible studies, right? It was against the rules.
Harrison, you grew up in the South.
Did you?
Was your experience with church entering school? Because we definitely had some teachers that pushed that line real hard.
Yeah.
And shared it.
Mostly, growing up in Hot Springs, going to the, like, Hamilton School District, bigger school, they were able to kind of keep the lines a little more divided. But like you, I grew up Methodist, but like you, I went to a lot of like Baptist churches when I moved to Hector, Arkansas.
Hector's a little, there's a little more sin in Hot Springs than I would assume there is in Hector.
What geographically, where is Hector? Is it a flatland place or is it in the hills?
That's not northeast, is it?
Hills, forest, streams. It's kind of near Russellville.
Northwest
central. Yeah.
Purdy up there.
Yeah, it's Purdy. A lot more churches.
Yeah, a little more conservative, I would think.
Yeah.
There's definitely some party to be had in Hot Springs.
That is true.
Yeah, there's gambling going on. There's dog race. Are there dog racing? At least horse racing. You know, you can bet on the ponies.
In my 7th grade English class, or 6th grade maybe, it was 7th. Anyway, the English teacher asked as part of like this assignment, like, raise your hand if you go to church or not. And then she had everybody who didn't stay behind after class so that she could invite them to her church.
We would get...
I don't think you can do that.
No, you cannot.
But you can if no one ever tells on you. if it's all just mobbed up and no one's going to say anything.
The thing that I remember about that teacher, too, was the ultimate, like, Southern, like, church lady kind of plastic hospitality.
Yeah, you know,
where I'm real nice to everybody. Yeah. But I'm kind of looking at you like, you should definitely come to my church because you're covered in sin. You're filthy.
I had a teacher ask one of the very few black kids in our church or in our class if he celebrated Kwanzaa. Because she didn't understand anybody who didn't like, you know. So that was.
Get up and tell us about Kwanzaa, would you?
And Jesse was just like I don't know. We go to the you know, Baptist church down the street. We used to get the Bibles, the little New Testaments, passed out to us.
Oh, at school?
Yeah, yeah. Like a preacher would come in. He would come in and say, "Can't tell you anything about this, but here's a book. Y'all want this book?" And then, like...
Could you imagine if I brought some communist propaganda?
Oh, like, yeah. If you just, you know, brought... That would be a funny, like, progressive white douche thing to do, is go to church, go to schools, and, like, hand out... I don't know, what would you hand out? Like, the... like pieces of the Quran or
tore it apart.
I don't know. I'm trying to come
I can
up
only with... afford one. Here's some pages for you.
I'm trying to fill out this improv I came up with.
All right. Well, Harrison, is there anything else you want to talk about during the last 15 seconds of this great intro portion of the podcast?
Let's do it. I binge listened to the last 5 episodes of you guys' show last night. I really enjoyed the first one, so I just kept going.
Our statistics are going to skyrocket, Harrison.
I did notice it went from 25 listens to 35 listens in a week.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I know. Our normal listeners, which are... our significant others. One of them said that she has to finish the Harry Potter podcast before she can listen to ours. I was like, okay, then ours must be real riveting then.
Well, one of our other fans just seems to have stopped keeping up. But she'll be on as a guest in a few weeks before this episode.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track.
All right, well, let's get into it, eh?
Yeah.
I said I want to try to read 5 verses at a time before being interrupted. Try to keep things a little clearer.
Sure.
our listeners.
Also, Adam, why don't you just go ahead and just do all the reading? See, this is what I'm going to do. You say it on podcast, it becomes canon.
Well, you know what, Daniel? I would argue with you, but for the sake of clarity, I will just read everything.
I can't read good.
So it's here okay. we go. Genesis chapter 11?
12.
Chapter 12. Well, to recap what happened last, we were learning about Abram.
I think this, you know, we were hard on chapters 10 and 11 last week because it's the Tower of Babel, and we thought it was going to be awesome because the Tower of Babel usually sounds pretty cool. But I think the whole Tower of Babel story was written and there just so we could get Abram into the story. Like, it was all just a vehicle to be like, people split up because of this weird thing with the language and kind of odd backward setup, but that's why Abram is going in this direction and his friend Lot.
Right. So God could create division among man and create Abram.
Yeah, and also focus on this one dude for a little while, which we'll get into.
This is kind of the beginning of someone's real story being told in the Bible, like over the course of their lives. Yeah. This is like the first prophet, right?
Yeah. Like, he's the first like dude to do some shit other than get on a boat and while everyone else died.
All right, I'm going to read through verse 5, and then I'm going to peer around the room
and see
if it looks like someone's itchy to jump on something, I'll stop. Otherwise, okay. I'll keep going through verse 10.
I'm excited. Mine's called The Call of Abram, by the way.
Okay. Well, I'm reading out of a dollar store King James version this time.
It's all Lord's word.
Mine is Promises to Abram.
Oh. Mine doesn't even have subtitles or tied super whatever.
Yours was written by, just some, Larry down the street.
Thanks for that, Daniel. I'm going to really enjoy doing the audio boost on that terrible joke so that it's audible. All right. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. Mine says S-H-E-W. Does yours say show thee?
Show.
Okay, so far.
There's no thees and thous.
So far that I will shew thee. Maybe the dollar store. All right, I'm sorry, I'm not going to stop again.
See, I'd say you get tempted.
So leave your father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came.
Ooh. So, I want to touch on one thing that stuck out to me, and it's at the end of this thing where it said if someone's,
I'm going to move the mic a little closer to you.
Oh, okay.
Because when you're looking down at your phone, I can't.
Oh, sweet. And it's the part where it's like, I'm going to bless you and others who hang out with you. And then it's like, I'm going to curse whoever curses you. Whoever's mean to you, I'm going to be mean to them. Like he's telling them that.
Yeah.
But then he says, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So like, to get some blessings, you're going to, like... He's going to have to dole out
the blessings.
So, so this is already Abram, who we believe becomes Abraham, is, like... He's already got some serious special treatment going on. Like he's kind of... That's some Jesus talk right there.
He's like Noah, too.
He's like Noah, too. Except Noah, too, except Abram, he doesn't body shame himself.
Well, not yet. There's plenty of time left.
There's plenty of time for that.
All right. Picking back up with verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, into the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed I will give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. and he removed from thence unto a mountain to the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land.
Hmm. So he's going down to Egypt, but they took a minute to say he stopped and made an altar, and then he kept going.
Yeah, he's moving altars around, which is interesting because this is the first. I don't know. I guess Noah might have had some sort of altar. They did sacrifices.
Yeah, they killed things.
But they're definitely having to interface with God through an altar right now.
Yeah. Well, they just said Cain and Abel killed some lambs and stuff. Well, no, they offered up. They had offerings up to him. I think altars have been, and you were to infer there was something like that, I guess. But actually, this may be the first time anyone said the word altar. Did y'all have altars?
I like to wear a nice altar top. No, the Methodist Church has, like, there's some ceremony to it, definitely. You know, it's not, like, Catholic level, but... There's, like, an altar, and there are different times you have candles, and there's, you know, sacraments and all that kind of stuff.
We had, like, a little wooden thing, but most people, the altar, like, just, like, the edge of the stairs that walked up onto the stage were, like, counted as the altar.
What do you mean by a little wooden thing?
Almost just, like, a little bench. Okay. They usually had words carved into it, like, "Thou shalt be nice."
That'd be a pretty great bench. Daniel, the way you paint with words, my friend.
It's like Picasso, you know.
It'd be like Picasso finger painting if he had his hands cut off.
Yeah.
Picking it back up with some
nub paintings.
Picking it back up with, remember, we can cut all this surrender shit out later.
Oh, I will go back and say that I think that, I don't think it ever comes up again, but I think it's called the Great Tree of Moriah at Shem. Like Shem, you know, like a Shem, you know, kind of word.
Uh-huh.
That's my guess.
What did you want to say about it?
That's how you say it.
Oh, okay, I said it wrong.
Yeah. Because you're an idiot.
All right, verse 11. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, "Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, and the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house.
Ooh.
Now, I was going to say, it turned out that he was right. They did think she was pretty and took her away. But I thought maybe it was just Abram trying to fulfill some sort of twisted fantasy. He's like, "Hey, you just pretend to be my sister. Okay? Hey, wife."
Abram was...
I've been pitching tents and building altars all over the land. Yeah. Say you're my sister.
Do something for me right now. So, Egypt's a pretty rough place. Why does he got to go there?
Because of the famine in the land.
Oh, so you go to Egypt because it's less famine-y.
They got grain silos and stuff. Yeah. Right?
I guess. Or they have water.
Yeah, civilization.
The Nile River.
So, I think he's taken everybody down there. His souls, they said earlier that they had gathered materials and souls, but I guess they're other followers.
Yeah, in mine I have people, so yeah, I guess followers.
And they're all going down to Egypt. But now, Pharaoh done took his wife.
Yeah, in yours it says that princes came, like, what happened was is some people saw his good-looking wife and then reported back to Pharaoh, "Hey, there's a good-looking lady over there. Why don't we, like, go kill that guy, and then we'll take that lady."
Yeah, you know?
So, but then, So, but in mine it says officials. Yours it says princes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So and kind of I have princes as well.
That's a weird deviation. The Bible never contradicts itself.
Well, this is a Bible contradicting other Bibles.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess it doesn't... Each story.
All right, picking up with verse 16. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and manservants and maidservants, and she asses and camels. I'm sorry. There are he asses and she asses. Pharaoh's got both of them.
and mine just says male and female donkeys.
I really prefer he asses and she asses. Because maybe that's a translation error. Maybe it just means there are asses to do with what you will.
Yeah.
Like, I dated someone who had worked at a porn, like, slash sex store at one point.
Yeah.
And she said that, you know, like, that was a popular thing, was men just getting the just, like, rubber asses. Like, yeah. It's just, like, a quartered off, like, here you go. Like, yeah. I would like to purchase this ass, please.
What a feminine turn, you know. Here's a weird thing that we're learning about Egyptian social norms.
Uh-huh.
It's like, all right, man's married to a good-looking woman, he's dead. Good-looking woman has a brother, he gets a bunch of stuff and is made wealthy. So, I'm sure things are not great for women in Egypt. However...
Hey, there was female leadership in Egypt. Yeah. They had she pharaohs and he pharaohs.
Okay, I'm just saying, so far in this Bible, it ain't that bad to be a pretty woman in Egypt. I mean, you get stuff, your whole family gets some stuff.
I'm opening this window.
Okay.
I'm dying. We still got 20 minutes left. Sorry, boys. All right, sorry. I got hung up on the he asses and she asses. Anyway, back to verse 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now, therefore, behold my wife, take her, and go thy way." Page flip.
That was weird. In mine, it clearly says, hey, why did you say this wasn't your wife? I wouldn't have taken her to be my wife if I knew that. Here's your wife. Take her and leave.
Okay.
Because it was, the Bible doesn't really make it clear, but it is... seems to be very clear that the Pharaoh knows that he's been cursed by God, and he's like, well, looks like this guy can dole out curses from God. So, take your wife and get out of here, please.
And the final verse, verse 20.
How did he figure out that it was his wife? Who told him?
I think we're supposed to be like...
He just assumed?
He's like, I got some curses on me. Let me...
So that's your... That's your wife. That's not your sister.
Yeah, so he just knew because he's like, well, I guess these curses are... I mean, I've been good in all other facets of my life. I just got this new wife. Something here is a little fishy. Or maybe God tells you when he curses you in this world.
Well, there's more with the plagues later where they don't believe in the one true God.
So,
I don't know. Let me just get this last verse finished.
Okay.
And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had.
So he still got to keep all the shit.
I guess so.
Yeah. He's still a wealthy man.
So he tricked Pharaoh. He let Pharaoh hook up with his wife so that he could get a bunch of free stuff.
Yeah.
And then he took her out of Egypt.
Yeah. It seems to be that way. Pharaoh took her on as a wife. And then he got a bunch of cattle, and he and she asses, and then he was just some curses happened. He's pretty gangster so far. He's pretty wild. This is like kind of tricky.
He's 75-year-old man.
He's been on the, also, and maybe by this time, at one point the Bible said that you can only live 125 years. And then people
thought it was 120, but we say it differently every time we bring it up.
Yeah, I know. Well, the Bible also says that, and then immediately lets people live until 500 or 600 years again, like after that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was about. Well,
do you remember that?
It seems like this is pretty... As we've learned with a lot of these chapters, this stuff's pretty dry. Do you want to go ahead and dive into 13?
Let's do it.
Harrison, do you want to read from 13?
You know what? Why not?
Yeah. Let's do it. You got a nice voice. You got a better Bible.
Yeah.
No these and thous. Just the... Let's see. Mine's the New King James Version. So a lot of yous. Yous and me's.
Instead of thee and thou's.
Yeah. All right. My title is Abram Inherits Canaan.
Oh.
What do you got, Daniel?
Abram and Lot Separate.
Oh, more drama in that one. I like that one more. All right. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. That's a sturdy tent.
It never left.
To the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren."
So there's already... Okay, I got... You know what? I read this before the podcast, trying to be a good host.
Uh-huh.
And I read that there was quarreling between herds. So I thought that the cattle were fighting each other.
You thought the cattle were getting into fisticuffs?
Yeah. I thought there were just problems between the cattle. You know, the ESs and SheSs on one side were fighting the ESs and SheSs on the other side.
I mean, that'd be a cooler version, yeah. I think. It'd make a lot more sense, honestly. These guys have been together for a long time.
So they left Egypt, got some money, and just went right back to where he built that first altar.
Uh-huh.
And now they're just rich guys?
Yeah, they're rich. I imagine...
Running a whole operation.
Yeah, it seems like they both have groups of followers, probably, and there's just some division between Lot and Abram. Yours said, "For we are brethren," but mine said, "For we be brethren." Which is way cooler.
If you were going to write a scene very in a movie, you would be like, "We be brethren."
That would be slap the scene each I wrote.
Like, you cut each other's hands and might slap them together. But blood oath.
All right. That was verse 9.
Eight.
Let's just start at 8.
"Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever." Very Lion King. "And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord.
Wow.
I think a few things have happened just now that are important. My first thing I'd like to point out that made me feel weird, they went ahead, and in that version and in this version, both said these things happened before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Spoiler.
So if you're a first time reader of this, you're like, well, what do you mean? What's Sodom and Gomorrah? So,
I guess the idea is that when this was first recorded and written down, like, everybody knew that Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed.
Okay, right? So this is like...
I don't know. It's like a big... It's still relevant history at the point this is first written down.
So everybody's just like, y'all remember Sodom and Gomorrah? It's like Spider-Man. We don't need to see Uncle Ben, you know, killed again. We all, like, the... It's like in human, the human, like, zeitgeist now.
Except for people who haven't seen Spider-Man.
Well, which is like...
spoiler alert.
Sorry, guys.
They're splitting up. Once again, the Tower of Babel was a bunch of people saying, we can't agree, we speak different languages now, and we're different races, so bye-bye, everybody. Once again, you have two people who are friends, and they're like, let's split up. It'll be better for everybody.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
It ain't even... This whole country ain't. This the whole
world.
So Lot goes east and just hangs out, and then Abram... Looks like he didn't have to go anywhere. And then God just gives him a swath of land and tells him that his offspring are going to own everything.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have that that song in church, the Father Abraham? Has many sons.
Yep.
And I am one of them. And so are you.
Whoa!
Something of the day. But yeah, it was about like everyone is descended from Abraham, who's a child of the book.
This is where
Jewish people and Christian comes from. It's Abraham's lineage.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Well, wait, hold on a second now. What about everybody else?
I guess, you know, fuck them to hell.
Hold on.
Isn't that the point of all the tension in the Middle East? We were talking about Jordan over here, and...
I think this is a great time to go to a Quest Bible question.
Oh, we haven't checked in with the Quest Bible.
Because the Quest Bible's been very good about... like hitting the nail on the head when it comes to like this person's good and that person's bad.
Uh huh.
Why compare offspring to dust? No. All right, damn, it's gonna suck.
I compare offspring to dust because when you're a 75-year-old man, you got some dusty loads.
So why compare his offspring to dust? Because his offspring were compared to dust. I mean, he was an 80-year-old man shooting them out. This is a figure of speech called hyperbole.
Whoa, thanks, Quest Bible.
It was not intended to be taken literally. Oh, okay, this part's not. Okay.
But and not only are they calling it a metaphor, they're calling it hyperbole.
Yeah.
So they're not like, this was a metaphor. They're like, this was a lie. <They're> like,
it's possible this included not just Abraham's physical descendants, but also his spiritual heirs. See also Genesis 15:5 and the article, Can the Bible Exaggerate and Still Be True?
Can you click on that article? Can the Bible exaggerate and still be true?
All right, so here's what it said. Can the Bible exaggerate and still be true? In a word, yes. When Solomon...
A lot of the Quest Bible answers are like this. They're like, a very complicated question. It's like, yeah.
Sure. It's like, when Solomon said the people were as numerous as the dust of the earth, he didn't have the exact figure in mind. Solomon was using a figure of speech called hyperbole, an exaggeration not meant to be interpreted literally. He simply meant he ruled all over a lot of people. Okay.
Is there anything else useful? Is there a question in there that stands out to you?
Well, we have that small problem where I don't remember how to get back to...
There's nothing really happened.
It feels
except for Abraham fooling the Pharaoh and basically selling his wife for goods.
This is the part of Abraham where, as far as like I would know in normal life, like when you're just learning about the Bible in church, Abraham would have been like, it's just you just meet him as like or Abram right now, but he comes in, you just meet him as Abraham, the like dude who's doing a bunch of crazy, crazy, wild stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he eventually. He's the Ten Commandments man, right?
Yeah.
I probably should. I don't know if I like should or should not know.
Yeah, he's trying to lead people to.
No, that's Moses.
Yeah, the reason I'm getting confused is because Moses is the guy who deals with Pharaoh mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moses. There's that great Disney movie, or DreamWorks movie. We should do a special episode on that.
Yeah, that's where the Patreon comes into play.
They don't expand on anything that's worth expanding on.
Nope.
Yeah. They just jump right over the interesting stuff and then go back into giving directions.
Well,
yep.
It's
and lineages.
Really, what I think is happening here is, like, when these stories are presented to us, I'm kind of realizing now that a preacher would take a little bit and then he would blow it up, kind of like expand on what was happening. Because yeah. if you look at, like, what was going on, it's like, and if you're following the story, it is taking, the words are boring, but it is following a theme of, like, the God destroys all the people with Noah, then he sets it up, and then he makes a point about how you shouldn't dish your dad about when he's naked. Then society builds larger and larger, becomes the Tower of Babel, where he's like, oh no, they're doing this terrible stuff again, let me screw them up. Blows that up, and then now he's like pointing out.
He doesn't even say terrible stuff. He just says they're doing too well. He's basically like, humans are doing pretty good. Break them up.
He's like, yeah, they created engineers, and then now, I gotta stop them. But no, he's again pointing out how the world's getting wicked again, and there's only a few people who are being good. And, like, they're now becoming the heroes of the story.
I haven't even heard the diagnostic of wicked, or the diagnosis of wickedness for this.
Yeah.
This well, I mean, they're been like, here's where this guy went.
Well, in Egypt, they'll kill you if you got a pretty wife.
Well, I guess that's true. But he built an altar. They're not supposed to be going into different lands. They were all separated at the Tower of Babel.
Yeah, the Tower of Blubel.
I don't know. Is there any Harrison, you got any takeaways from these two chapters?
The biggest takeaway I have so far from the previous 12, 13 chapters, that were, what, 10 chapters?
We're on 13 chapters.
Okay. From the previous 13 chapters that I have so far is God picks favorites.
He does. He does play favorites.
He plays favorites. And if you're not in his favor, man, you're screwed.
Yeah, you're in trouble, buddy.
Yeah.
That might be the greatest takeaway of all from the Bible. Like, if I gave the Bible to that homeless man in the park, the cogent thing he said to the man who was trying to get him to pray was like, it's not going to help. Like, you can be all happy. You got your phone and your wallet. I don't have, all my stuff is gone. Yeah. Like, I'm not a favorite of God. I'm screwed.
Well, yeah.
The Bible so far offers no saving grace.
Nope.
That's why the gospel is so uplifting, I guess, is that if you spent your whole life being like, well, I hope everything goes well.
Maybe I can be a son of Abram. I think we're going to be with Abram for a long time. The next chapter is called Abram Rescues Lot, in my book.
Well, my neighbor's kicked on the vacuum that seems to be built out of a blender and a pool suction.
Somebody's using a jet engine to clean their house.
So it's about time to wrap things up anyway, but we had a voicemail, Daniel.
What?
And contacted by a fan, wanted to play it. So I'm going to play that over the sound of this vacuum. And then I'll edit in the actual audio file.
Okay. So we'll talk about it afterwards.
So here we go.
What's up, heathens? It's your boy, Andrew. I just listened to the newest Bible reading, heathens. Enjoying it a lot. Always wanting to put in my two cents. I could record a full half-hour episode on my own.
Hey, Andrew. This is our don't try to take over our space in the industry.
Yeah,
you can't start doing your own half-hour episodes or we're screwed.
How dare you mumble over the Bible stuff.
I'm just going to give you a little nug and drop you a line right quick. Now, part of studying the Bible as a heathen, I think everybody has the fantasy of, like, owning a Bible thumper by out-Bibling them and being like, oh, guess what? You don't really know your Bible. And it's just a fantasy because you can't do it. Because you can't get them. You can never get them that way on it. That being said, one of my favorite little things back in Genesis 2, I think, is when God tells Adam to name the animals. Guess what? That's science, bitch. Naming animals is taxonomy. So, like, if God didn't want us to, like, you know, get too sciencey about everything. He should not have asked us to name the animals. It's naming animals that led to naming cellular organisms and asking too many questions. So, you know, that's just one thought I had. More to come.
There's a lot of Bible thumpers out there right now. They're shaking in their non-science believing boots.
They're bringing up words like taxonomy.
There's one thing I want to say, Andrew. I have out-thumped Bible thumpers. There was a kid on my playground in 7th grade who was preaching from the Bible, telling people why they were going to hell. And I got into an argument with him about it, and I was quoting stuff that Jesus says out of the Bible that was essentially like, nah, I don't think these people are going to hell, man. And he got so angry because I was out verse, like a crowd had gathered and I was actually pulling verses out of my head and he was trying to like flip through the Bible.
Yeah.
And he got so angry. He said, I'm so angry right now. I could hit you with this Bible right now. And I was just kind of like, guess I won, bro. Like, pretty sure Jesus isn't walking around hitting people with Bibles.
In other schools, there are kids like, you know, like a young, like young battle rappers that became like the artists of the day. There are kids out there that are doing dance offs and you know, doing cool things. Somewhere in a little town in the South, there are two kids arguing about the Bible in their fucking polo shirts or whatever nonsense. Hey, whatever nonsense you're wearing.
Pretty sure I was wearing my felt rainbow Jimi Hendrix shirt.
Yeah, and your Levi's that you got before the school started.
Yeah. No, I was wearing everything from Steve and Barry's.
No, I agree with young Andrew. I think you can't out thump a thumper because they take what these words that we obviously were trying to interpret and build off of and like stay with a story. They just take them and like build a whole world around in their own heads. I mean, that's how we make fun of it all on the show, but that's how you reach the point where you can't be gay, but you can't eat shrimp and wear polyester cloth mesh, you know, mixed up shirts, you know? So it's like, you can't beat somebody who doesn't live in the same world and isn't playing by the same rules, you know?
It's not that they, I don't even think it's not that they can't be beaten, it's that they won't be beaten.
They refuse.
Yeah. But I mean, look, the Lord started God started early. He started the thinking early. He didn't want people to think too much. That's why he didn't give you knowledge of good and evil or all those other things. He just wanted you to run around and have fun. But started some free thinking by having them, you know, name the animals.
Yeah, I agree, Andrew. Taxidermy.
Yeah. No, taxidermy.
Any closing thought? Harrison, you got anything to plug, man? Do you want people to track you down after this episode?
Yeah.
Don't worry, we'll have you back on for a more interesting episode in the future, too.
Although we
feel like you got the bad pick of the
I would
the
never
chapters.
Make that promise, because this may, the Bible is hit or miss.
The biggest takeaway, the biggest verse I got from this entire reading, I think, is this one right here. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left.
Well, it's about that time that we go to the right and our listeners go to the left. Never to meet again, most likely.
Oh, God. I wish I had that jet engine to burn you up with that's outside.
All right, folks. Well, we've been heathens doing some reading. Hope we didn't step on anyone's old feelings or make ourselves to be a bunch of he-asses. We'll catch you next week on the next episode. This is the part where the music fades in just loud enough that you can't hear.
Wait. You have to rate it. That's my favorite
part. Oh, wait, somebody actually likes the rating system?
Yes!
Okay, fine. We almost, Harrison's got his rating here ready to go, and he thought he wasn't going to
All right, well, Harrison, I don't want to steal your thunder. You got a rating in mind?
Okay.
One out of five crucifixes or whatever.
You know what? I'm going to give it one out of five cubits.
Ooh.
I'm going to give it 1 out of 5 cubits.
You're going hard on this
one. I know I'm a guest on this show, and I hesitate to give such a bad rating, but some of these previous chapters, my own personal rating's been a bit higher. The reason this one is so low is just because of all the directions, which seems to be a theme so far, but there's more directions than normal. They don't expand on the important bits, the juicy bits, the drama. We don't go into that. Yeah. But I do give it 1 instead of 0 because of the fun descriptions of animals.
If I would have read your version of the Bible, I would have given it a flat 1. I'm going to give it 1.5 because of he asses and she asses.
Perfect.
That's what brings it up for me. But for something that spends so much text explaining things, like just verbatim explanations, it was confusing.
Oh, yeah.
It was confusing to read. I agree. The good bits were left out. 1.5 he asses.
I have to let everyone know that I think between Adam and I, and some of our guests, I think I'm getting kind of pulled into the story, and I actually do like Abram a little bit.
Daniel, there's like this holy glow emanating around your body.
Am I going to be the? Well, see, I'm trying to be the one who doesn't get smited down by the Lord. I'm learning in the Bible that you got to be in favor of the Lord, or you're going to get smited.
That is true. He picks favorites.
I want to be the Lord God's favorite, but I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5 beautiful wives.
Ooh.
Because
I think Daniel's worried about offending the Lord, but not worried about objectifying women to the point of
1 out of 5 Sarahs. I'm just calling his wife Sarah from that one.
Sarah, that's fair.
That's it. Yeah. No, I think it's fine. I think that it's like the first Avenger, the movie before Avengers Endgame. It's a setup. It's a setup movie.
It is a setup.
It's a setup to whatever nonsense about to happen.
Well, that's been great. What a great episode. Thank you, Harrison.
Harrison.
Thanks for listening, y'all. You can always find us at readingheathens.com. Check us out at Hosted Pod. Watch Daniel stream on Twitch.tv/hostedpod. Watch Schaefer Bourne stream on twitch.tv/hostedpod and download our episodes. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.